truth. Indictment, arrest, and prison. References for the vocabulary on these words will be from the 1828 dictionary by Noah Webster. Indict. The origin of the word means to speak. The use of the word means to accuse. What has the power or the authority or the creativeness or the action or the capacity or the facility to accuse truth of being its opposite, which is error, a mistake, a flaw, a variance from truth in any way whatsoever? Mary Baker Eddy defines God as incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. This means that each one of these seven terms of mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love are incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. Therefore, truth is bodiless. That means instead of matter, it is composed of spirit. Divine, of course, means that it is the opposite of immoral. Anything that could be corrupt, anything that could be without the qualities of God. It means perfect. Supreme equates to being the absolute best, the absolute top. Nothing is above it in any dimension. It is the apex. Infinite, of course, means that it is without limitation of any kind. It is without measure. There is not one element of ungodlike characteristics in any of those four terms of incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite. Therefore, truth, nor any of the other seven terms, could be subject to actual accusation that was real. Because the fact about truth is the opposite of unreality. It is the epitome of reality. It is truth without variance. It is perfection without variance. It is of a spiritual nature. It is perfection, which is divine. It is the apex. And there is no limit to truth. It cannot be measured because it is infinite. Certainly, there is an attempt to accuse truth of being false. But one has to give a home in their thought to a false suggestion in order for an accusation against truth to seem real. Mr. Winslow indicated that we should place ourselves consciously in a room that has two objects, a radio and a telephone. The radio is announcing the qualities of God continuously. The telephone is ringing to see if we will pick it up and listen to suggestions of evil. And will we accept it as being real? Will we give it a home in our consciousness? Will we give it a space in our thoughts? An accusation or a suggestion has no power unless it is given power by someone who is misunderstanding reality. In the world of reality, an indictment or an accusation of truth being untrue has absolutely no validity. The messengers of truth have come to us throughout the ages. Moses spoke truth. Abraham spoke truth. Isaac, Jacob, many Old Testament prophets spoke truth. David gave us over 100 Psalms, many of which were speaking the pure truth. King Solomon spoke the truth. He was seeking wisdom from God in order to rule his kingdom with honesty, giving the office of king integrity, fairness. On a human basis, these were all elements of truth. Daniel adhered to the truth, regardless of the suggestion that he could be tossed into a den of lions if he continued to seek the truth from his prayers with God, his communion with the truth. Certainly, Jesus adhered to the truth. When he would see someone that was in need, he did not pick up the phone and say, "Oh, yeah, well, it's too bad this is a problem." No, he would not accept the truth as being flawed. He accepted the truth, in other words, the image and likeness of God expressed as an individual, as being perfect, not flawed, not sinful, not diseased, not dead. He accepted only the truth about God's man. Mary Baker Eddy also accepted the truth about God's man. Just like Jesus was attacked all the time, so was Mary Baker Eddy. She was attacked by her family. They thought she was ridiculous. They did everything possible to get her to drop the whole concept of Christian Science in writing a textbook. Like Jesus, where at the cross there were only a handful of people, Mary Baker Eddy was by herself when she left this earth in visible form. She experienced that human nature overcomes one's sense of truth. no matter how strong it may appear to be when everything is going their way, when the challenge really came, they didn't stick with it. One of the primary features of evil is to accuse truth of being erroneous. The common thing by the sheep of evil is to believe that truth is erroneous. Accuse truth of being error. Accuse a messenger of God who is assigned a specific duty to be an individual that is totally ungodlike. Debasement of character is one of the absolute repetitious common traits that is used for accusing the innocent and the truthful of the opposite of what it really is. One must look at the facts of actions of the individual and not the words of those who are debasing an individual. The origin of the word arrest means to stop or to rest. It's being used to mean to take, to seize, to hinder, to restrain. What has power to do any of those things, if it is incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite? Truth cannot be stopped. It cannot be seized. It cannot be hindered. It cannot be restrained. There may be efforts to give that appearance, and of course, that again is the telephone ringing, the suggestions that are constantly blurting out, trying to debase the truth. Can truth be restrained, or is truth free? The definition of God in another place includes the terms of omnipotence, omnipresence, omniscience, and omniaction. Omni means one and all. So there is no competition or opposition to anything that is omni, since God is omni. Everything that is good and perfect and the only reality, then anything that is not of God is nothing, for nothing is the opposite of allness. In other words, it does not exist. It is unreal. It is only a false concept. Every quality of God includes the qualities of power, presence, science, and action. Truth is always present. It is omnipresent, which means that error cannot be there at all. Truth being free means that there can be no restraint. Nothing can seize truth because truth is incorporeal divine, supreme, and infinite. It is not subject to being seized by anything whatsoever. There is no concept that could seize truth, take control of it. It is independent of outside influence. So we see so far that truth cannot be accused of being the opposite of itself by anything that is valid. Nothing valid has any power to do anything. That is the opposite of the nature of truth. Nothing has any power to be able to restrain anything that is unlike freedom. Truth is freedom. A lie is restraint. How about prison? The origin of prison has no English meaning, but the use means anything, any place that is in confinement. The original use was any place that was of safe custody. Well, that's exactly what truth is. Truth is a place of safe custody that is omnipresent. In other words, it is always safe. It is safe from a supposed opposite, which is error. It cannot be confined because it is infinite. It's omnipresent. Daniel was put into a den of lions, but he was unfearful. He commanded the situation with the omnipresence and the omnipotence of God. The lions had no power. They had no action. They could not harm God's man. They could not harm a representation of truth. If one is being a sheep of the telephone and follows whatever suggestion that comes through the earpiece, one will be subject to the problems of false representation. They will be misguided. They will be alarmed, worried, fearful. They will permit the suggestion to divide them in belief from the power, the presence, the science, and the action of God. But it's only in belief because, for example, if Jesus were looking at that situation, he would not be fearful. He would not be seeing that individual as being less than perfect. He was always listening to radio station KOG, the Kingdom of God. Did not matter what event was taking place in appearance that may have been surrounding him when he was being arrested. He was not fearful. He didn't revert to corporeal means to try to save himself and put himself in safe custody. he mentally was in safe custody all the time. He was thinking kingdom of God continuously. One must open the eyes, if they appear to be blind to spirit, blind to the freedom of the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite, then we will be able to experience the rest, the completeness, the wholeness, the fulfillment of divine love, which is the opposite of being fearful. Mary Baker Eddy emphasizes the need to guard thought, to watch, work and pray continuously. Every activity we are involved in, we should be relating it to the spiritual nature, not some kind of a physical activity, but a spiritual activity. Then the results will be spiritual, uninterruptible, steady progress. Like it states about concrete being, Mary Baker Eddy said, infinite progression is concrete being. The Bible refers to precept upon precept, a little here, a little there. Compounding is a beautiful concept. In simple terms, if one were to earn 10% profit on their money and they had $100 to begin with at the end of 1 year, at 10% annual, they would have $110. And if they made 10% profit on that new balance, it would not be $10, it would be $11, 10% of 110. Therefore, the result is a geometric curve. For the first year, the first period of time, it would be a 10, the next it would be 11. And would keep going up 10% on the new increased balance. Think about the asset, instead of being a material medium of exchange, such as money, that it is one's spiritual understanding. Think about adding only a small amount every time one thinks about truth. Keep in mind, one would be adding to their most recent level of understanding. If one is careful not to regress, they will have a compound effect by just adding a little bit every time they think of truth. Mary Baker Eddy states that the difference between success and failure is often due to how one uses the moment. Don't just go to God first in a problem. Go to God first and continuously in everything we do. If we do that when things are going smoothly, it will reduce the bumps in the road, because our thought will be prepared for truth instead of error. It will be conscious of truth as being the real, and it will be very quickly alerted to anything that is unreal as being unreal. Anything unlike God would be recognized quickly as being unreal. That is eliminating the bumps, building an upward curve of compounding spirit, compounding truth, compounding the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite in everything we do. Eventually, it will be natural to do that. It won't be an effort. It will be the easiest way to proceed. It will be the line of least resistance. And that, of course, is the golden path. God appoints various people to be His messengers and operational functionaries for specific duties. We must be alert to who they are, what their purpose is, and support the concept, for it is a concept that is commissioned from God, from the divine, from the incorporeal, supreme and infinite, mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. Operating in the impersonal kingdom of heaven. Do we desire to experience this kingdom of heaven? Mary Baker Eddy addressed this very question, and history has proven her to be accurate. She said that if the concept of the commission by God was not supported, and that means supporting the messengers that are involved in an impersonal way, she said, then civilization will experience a drastic amount of evil. What happened? Not only did 11 of his 12 disciples deny Jesus the office of being the Christ messenger, but even John, the 12th disciple, went to sleep when Jesus said, "Will you watch?" All three of them that were chosen to be with him at that critical moment failed and went to sleep. As a result, he experienced the crucifixion. If they would have been watching, he would have been able to eliminate the crucifixion experience. But he could see that no one was mentally prepared as they needed to be to do the watching. And so he went through the crucifixion, the resurrection, and the trial following the resurrection until he ascended. He ascended because the world was not ready to be elevated to where they needed to be. And even though there was about 300 years of an effort on the part of Christianity to follow the Christ idea, at about 325 AD, It was totally abandoned. This is explained in detail in the book by Dr. Robert C. Putnam on the website. And it is clearly explained why we went through what Mary Baker Eddy prophesied. If we didn't do the watching, what did we experience? Over 1,000 years of dark ages. 1,000 years. Because the so-called Christians would not watch. Guard their thought. Help others guard their thought. See the light. Mary Baker Eddy comes along, and she experienced the same thing. And she said, if we don't do it, the period of time will be much longer than before, of dark ages. I don't know whether she made the statements, I haven't seen it or noticed it, but we declined significantly from where we were when she was here down to the level of Sodom and Gomorrah. It doesn't take a genius to read that experience in the Bible. What happened to civilization in that area of the world? That's where we are right now. If we do not pursue constant spiritual advancement for ourselves and let our light shine to attract others to the light, and if we do not support the messengers that are specially commissioned to lead the world out of this darkness, and one in particular, if we don't support what is needed to be supported, we will be looking, in accordance with the prophecy of Mary Baker Eddy, for a dark age period that is far beyond the 1,000+ years that occurred after Jesus was abandoned. If one will stop listening to the telephone that is ringing all the time, which comes to us in the form of censoring the internet, fake news by the mainstream media, animal magnetism in many different forms, communism, Nazism, socialism, things that remove the freedom of the individual to follow the Constitution. If we don't do that, then we are looking at an extremely grim future instantly ahead of us. The sun is in the mode of dimming, which is ushering in a new ice age. Forget global warming. That is another fake news. If one studies with the goal of spiritual advancement and practices it on a moment-by-moment basis, they will be alert to be able to recognize truth from error. Those who are leading us in the path of truth versus the Sodom and Gomorrah attitude. Unity is absolutely mandatory. That is unity with the truth and unity with those who are striving to improve their spiritual understanding. Always keeping our eyes in an impersonal manner, looking forward and up. We are on the precipice. The decision has to be made moment by moment on what we're going to listen to. The radio tuned in to station KOG with the divine messages from God, or the telephone with suggestions of every possible form of evil that is beyond imagination. We must make wise decisions constantly. Amen.